When you think about meal kit companies, what do you see? Probably long, complicated recipes and subscriptions you can't escape. But with the new Blue Apron, we're doing meal delivery differently. No subscription needed. Faster, easier meals. And the same dedication to quality we've always had. Shop 100 plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Let's bring in our man Anthony Slater of ESPN. All he does is write and talk about basketballs. He just wrapped up a podcast with Brian Windhorst. And man, appreciate you, man. Thank you. I always get a kick out of looking at the screen and seeing your backyard. I don't know why.
Like, yeah, see, you guys are getting the not as great version where I'm actually inside my house with the screen door right here. I've actually got it to where when I go on TV, I'm outside with the tripod set up, so it's like a pure view of the backyard, but you can kind of see it a little.
I saw it yesterday on, I think it was NBA Today, and you were outside. Yeah. Nice sunny day. Mm-hmm. Do you have any neighbors like Wilson from Home Improvement?
I hope not.
Peek over the fence.
Yeah, there was one time that like leaf blower was going. And I was like, this is not great timing, but it wasn't purposeful. Somebody started like trying to sabotage.
So
or,
we
like,
heard
throw some signs up or something.
So the news is out now that Luka has just been traded to the Lakers. We'll go to Anthony Slater right now, and the leaf blower's going.
I love.
I mean, it'll probably happen at some point.
I love the idea.
Like, one time, the closest I've come to that, I guess, one time a squirrel was like, you know, scattering across the fence back there, and my dad saw it. I know that.
I love the idea of like Ant's neighbor being, hey, is that Anthony? Well, goes outside, looks over the fence. Oh, honey, it is. That's Anthony on TV. Yeah.
That would be. It's definitely unique to ESPN, but you know, I think soon I will actually have like more of a home studio setup than more traditional. But they've been like, it's kind of like interesting. Pop in, and suddenly there's some sunniness. There's a foggy day outside, and I was like kind of reporting on like a somewhat depressing time for the Warriors. I remember, or I think it might have been we were talking about Clay. Like we did a Clay story and. About like kind of regrets about like how the Klay Thompson thing ended, and it was like foggy behind me. I was like, yeah, kind of
it fits. It rains so many damn days in a row. No wonder you wrote a 10,000 article on the Kings.
Well, that too. But that was a good segue.
Thank you.
Yes.
I wanna point out one particular piece that you one particular line in your article that Kenny and I discussed yesterday. And it was attributed to a team source, but you were talking about Doug Christie. And
yeah.
Doug Christie, you know, despite this really, really bad start, being safe. I don't know what type of context you got in that conversation. Kenny and I both took that as Doug is not getting fired during this season. And we left it at that and didn't think like he's going to coach out next year or anything further. It's that there is no interest in firing Doug Christie during this season.
Yeah, and I think that's relevant because they're 8-29,
of course,
they weren't planning to be 8-29, and there's been, you know, criticisms of certain coaching decisions, and I think, you know, 30,000 feet view, and again, especially writing for ESPN, like this is kind of a drop in for a lot of people that aren't on the ground level, you know, following the day to day with the Kings. I would expect you guys to understand the dynamics more at play of why Doug is safe for the rest of the season, but I think it's introducing that idea to the world that yet, like they're backing Doug Christie as of right now. I would agree with you that I'm not saying he is, and nobody is saying he is or isn't, you know, safe in perpetuity here, and it's just like he's the permanent coach of this rebuild. But as of now, not only is he being backed, and I think what I was kind of trying to portray in the story, especially to a national audience who drops in on these Doug Christie press conferences where he's like pretty critical of his veterans, right? Like very proud, respected veterans. Like, why, you know, wow, this young coach is really going after like the effort level and, you know, this idea that they need to play, you know, this defensive minded for the city type approach, which clearly they're trying to build around here. And it's this idea of like that this is Scott Perry is the most, you know, powerful decision maker right now in the organization. And he like, he's fine with this. Mm-hmm. You know, this is how they want to build the brand of the Kings. And part of that is Doug Christie, from everything I've heard, is safe through at least the season. And I think you guys read that correct.
So, and that's kind of like Damien said, where we left it. The other part of that is, I don't know what's going to happen in the off season. I'm not, I'll put it to you like this, I'm not confident that Doug Christie gets another opportunity after this year. From talking to Scott Perry, and we're like really dissecting that one line, and but did you get the sense that with Doug Christie, Scott Perry's in this for the long haul as well?
I think that, well, Scott Perry, yes.
Well, I mean, like, I as Doug Christie being your his coach.
I think it's, you know, I think the this offseason is the will be a real test case for where this everything is going. But I would look at, right, we're on the NFL week, what do they call it, like Black Monday, where like a bunch of coaches get fired. Like, for example, Miami, who I, you know, I follow the Dolphins, and Mike McDaniel in the last several weeks seems safe in Miami. That was kind of the reports. They were winning a little bit more. He was empowered to bench Tua, and all the way up until Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, it was like, he's safe. But then people said there was a meeting with between him and Stephen Ross, and Stephen Ross left that like kind of conflicted, but finally decided, you know what, change is needed. And maybe that's because he's getting an indication that a John Harbaugh or something else is coming up that's more appealing. But he really didn't decide if Mike McDaniel was or wasn't the guy until Thursday of this week after the season. To my point of like, Scott Perry's in such a calm position right now. And that's one of the things I was kind of maybe hoping to reveal to a national audience that looks at the Kings and goes, oh my gosh, they must be panicking. How are they in this situation? It's like the panic was the last couple seasons and how they kind of drove this situation into a ditch. Right now, it's just an assessment mode. Mm-hmm. Everything is an assessment. Nobody's saying like, hey, your job's on the line if you do or don't make this decision. And I think, you know, to your point about Doug Christie, he's being given a chance. This is, you know, I think we can all be fair and say this is probably the only head coaching job he could have gotten at this stage of his career, the Kings one. Sure. And he's going to try to coach himself into this job, into the long term. And he's been given at least this runway, and we will see. I think the main thing, you know, if you were given truth serum to Scott Perry, it would be like, you know, we'll assess it after the season, because he's going to assess everything after the season, really.
Anthony Slater of ESPN with us here on D'Lo and KC. I'm going to tie this back to Sacramento, I promise. But what did you think of the news yesterday? It had gained steam for a few days.
Trae Young?
Yeah, that Trae was headed out of Atlanta, certainly. It gained a lot of steam yesterday morning that it appeared he was going to Washington, and then the deal gets announced, and it's, you know, kind of a mid-level contract player and an expiring contract and an older player in CJ McCollum. For a player who's, you know, 25 and 10 on his career, has been a pretty dynamic offensive player his entire career, four-time All-Star. How did you digest that news yesterday?
Yeah, I mean, it's like the shifting dynamics of the league, but we don't, like, that's a long conversation, right? The apron era and the idea of these monster contracts are suddenly viewed a lot more toxically than they previously were. I would say scoring guards are losing their value in the league. I think you're seeing that to a much mini degree with Malik Monk, for example, in Sacramento. And I think those are all the dynamics at play, where the Hawks just wanted to get out of the contract and found some expirings to do it. You know, the Wizards are probably entering, like, you know, contract rehab situation with Trae Young, maybe get a little bit more excitement there. But it was a sobering reminder or an introduction to, I think, people that, you know, the landscape is changing around the league for several reasons, many of them like CBA type reasons, which can be very convoluted, but it feels like a different era. I mean, honestly, if Anthony Davis, for example, gets traded over the next month, I think that return will probably surprise people.
It feels like, not that Trae Young was this perfect player by any means, but he was an all-star level guy. I talked about it earlier. There are guys who make an all-star team, and then there are all-stars. There's a difference to me. Like, you can make all-star game here or there, but to be an all-star, we're talking multiple years of something like that. And I thought Trae Young, I still do think Trae Young is one of those type of guys. But if he's not looked at as a guy that teams are willing to pay and go to the max for, is there like seven guys in the league that they are willing to do that with now?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's lessening because, you know, it's it's a hindrance to have these huge money deals now, and they're tough to trade, obviously. But also, like, the Trae Young that made four All-Star teams, the Trae Young that took the Hawks to the finals, was a more impactful player. He was scoring at a more efficient level, and the team was built better around him with, like, the John Collins and the pick and roll stuff and Herder, right? Like, those teams were Trae Young teams, whereas this team this season, you know, the Hawks traded him because they're 1-9 in games he played. Their defensive rating was, like, you know, 15 points worse. And this new Hawks regime that has come in, Anzi Sala, who I know from, he was in the Warriors front office, they want to be rangy, athletic, defensive minded, no weak spots to pick at. And they were winning a lot more when they were able to, you know, Jalen Johnson's the star and it's Dyson Daniels, and they're out there just, you know, playing their brand of basketball. And if we want to wrap it back to the Kings, you know, it's been reported, I reported in the story, like, the Kings were not in the Trae Young market. And part of that is, what type of team is Scott Perry trying to build? Rangy, defensive-minded, wings, right? You know, he gives Keegan Murray the contract. He's interested in Kuminga. Some of these wings coming up in the draft. Like, Trae Young doesn't necessarily fit that, and I think it's fair to criticize it or wonder, like, you know, should the league be shifting this far away from those type of scoring guards? But they are, it seems.
Now, bringing all of that back to Sacramento and Scott Perry, you know, seeing what Trae Young got, you just alluded to what a potential Anthony Davis deal might look like. How in the world do you trade Zach LaVine?
Like, you need a desperate team. I wouldn't predict it's going to happen. It seems like Milwaukee could be the likeliest, because you just need a team that's like, hey, you need a scorer, yeah, you need something now, you need a shakeup, right? You know, I think, you know, why was Zach LaVine traded from the Bulls? Because they found a desperate team trying to resuscitate their season at a moment where there was a lot of people trying to, you know, just survive the moment. Mm-hmm. So the Kings traded for Zach LaVine. And I, you know, you could say that's kind of trending towards what's happening in Milwaukee, with them trying to save the Giannis era. Now, I think Giannis cooled temperatures talking to Sam Amick, today, but they need something, right? They're not going where they need to. Clearly, Giannis wants to at least be in the Eastern Conference playoffs. And I'm not saying Zach LaVine is the answer, but, you know, they kind of got to be bargain bin shopping with what they're going to be offering, which is, you know, Kuzma, Portis type numbers. So that's a theoretical fit, but if I'm being honest, Zach LaVine would probably be a lot easier to trade as an expiring this summer into next season than he is right now.
Maybe you like cooking, maybe you don't. Either way, the new Blue Apron is for you, because along with our classic meal kits, we're offering new pre-made and one-pan meals to help you get dinner on the table fast. And now there's no subscription needed, so you can just order and enjoy. Do delicious food your way. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Which kind of leads to some of the things that we've talked about in the last few weeks, is there's a lot of angst around here. Want new players, want players out of here, want to start the new era. What was it, December 15th, all January 15th, all this other stuff. And I kind of come to the conclusion, man, that I don't think much of anything's going to happen in Sacramento here. Like, I think the contracts are too tough to move. And I think, to your point with LaVine, if anything happens, it's going to be more so in the summer than it is this trade deadline.
I think if the league wants the Kings guys, they can come get them, you know. I think that's clear. But also, you know, if the cost of moving off one of these contracts is a future first, why would Scott Perry or anybody making a decision about a deep, patient, multi-year rebuild do that? You know, the most important – right now, the most important player for the Sacramento Kings is in college, right? It's the first round. It's whoever they take with their premium 2026 lottery pick coming up. He's and next season
in high school.
Well, theoretically, but at least, you know, in this a little bit more of like current moment for the Kings, whoever they get in the first round next year will be, you know, the number one draw and the number one interest of next season. I think, you know, maybe Scott Perry makes a trade this summer, even at the deadline, where, you know, you guys may ask me about Kuminga. If he's in here, people will be interested. That'll be important, because that'll represent, hey, like the next wave, the Scott Perry imprint on this team. But if they're going to lose this season, probably have a really young rebuilding lottery team next season, there's not really that much motivation for him to get off these contracts unless there is an appealing offer for the contracts. Mm-hmm. Because you could just eat them. You know, you're not trying to make the playoffs. Mm-hmm. You're not trying to shift everything. Again, that's this. It'll be the depressing days of a rebuild are these type of days, are the nights where March and April this year, especially if they don't do much at the deadline, like Golden 1 Center is going to feel a little, you know, fog. You know, we were talking about the fog earlier. Like, it's not going to be beautiful to watch, but, you know, the Thunder's rebuild, the Pistons rebuild, those days were not fun to watch for the home fans, but they're like, glad we did that. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So that's part of why they might not be aggressive at the deadline, because it's not like they got all these chips to go get picks or anything.
Oh, it can't be worse than what we're watching now. Obviously, we do want to get to Jonathan Kuminga, but I have a thought process I started to develop about a month ago that I'll run by you, Anthony Slater. I don't think Zach LaVine picks up that option. Mm.
What would he get as a free agent?
I have no idea. He gets the hell out of Sacramento.
I live, you know, in the Sacramento area. I like Sacramento. So I name the last city. I'll have you guys name the last city in the country or the last job, whatever, that you would work for. Like, you just don't want to live there.
Bakersfield.
You know, you know, a farm in, you know, whatever, yeah. South Dakota.
Starksville. Would
you, if I was offering you, what is LaVine next year? Like 48 million?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. If I was offering you $48 million to go work on a farm in South Dakota for a year, maybe I'll even trade you to a job you want in the middle of the next year. Or, you know, you can make 15 doing, you know, going somewhere else you want. You'd probably be like, I'll take 48.
But it wouldn't be, but see, it wouldn't be 15, though. It would be maybe 15 times 3, and I think it would be closer to 25. 20 or 25 times at least 3 for Zach LaVine.
Well, that's where Rich Paul would, you know, Rich Paul right. knows better than we do. And if you're correct, and that's Zach LaVine's desires, and he believes there, you know, you don't opt out unless you know that that's there. And sure, if there is a team out there with cap space willing, but I just covered a summer where no free agent yeah. sign. You know, everybody extends yeah. now. Mm-hmm. There's no cap space out there. And the teams that have cap space, the Nets this summer, again, I was covering Kuminga's free agency all summer. They're just trying to drum up interest. Hey, you have some cap space. And all the Nets did was go give bad contracts and picks. They got a pick with Michael Porter, send Cam Johnson, absorbed it into their cap space. And now they're resuscitating Michael Porter and trying to trade him out. That's just how the league works, where what I think is more likely is If the Kings were desperate to get off LaVine, which again, Scott Perry's saying I'm not desperate to get off Scott mm-hmm. or Zach LaVine, but he's the type of contract that would be traded with the first into somebody's cap space, so he can still make that money. But to your point, look, if he's so desperate to get out and he knows there's some type of $3 or $75 million offer, sure, maybe. Mm-hmm. But what, I'm not sure where that's coming from.
Well, there is another way. Scott says, hey, brother, you could pick up that option. It'll be for a year off. Mm. And I don't like that. For the record, I do not like that. But yeah, like if you said it though, that's probably a desperate move because you might be damaging a relationship with Rich and so on and so forth.
Pretty important relationship.
Yeah, I hear you. Yeah. I hear you.
And that's Scott's specialty, right? That's one of his real specialties. For sure. Is like good relationships.
Yeah.
Zach LaVine can score, and also like Zach. This is a great example this season. Like, is Zach LaVine leading them out of the bottom of the lottery where they, at this point, you probably want to be? No, I mean, they're not winning. It's not a great feeling to go through this, but rebuilds are painful. Mm. True rebuilds. Mm. The Kings steered themselves here. They've got to take the pain to get out of it.
Yeah. I was telling them.
Yeah, because this franchise knows nothing about pain.
This is new to us.
Yeah.
I don't like this new NBA. I don't like the way they maneuver the contracts and
the apron stuff. Just seems so over the top. I don't. It's convoluted. I get it. I get what you're saying. I think it's like taking some of the fun of transaction season. Like I think this deadline might be a little bit duller than people want.
You're gonna have a hell of a time selecting all NBA players at this point.
With the 65 game rule,
yeah. Like Jokic's gonna be out. Giannis gonna be out. LeBron gonna be out. Hell, J-Dub is out. He made it last year. He's out already.
Yeah, no, you're right. They've made a lot of random rules over the last few years, but I still think the basketball's been very good. Like the league-wide nightly basketball, I love.
The Spurs owning the Oklahoma City Thunder is one of the best storylines of the season.
That's been that three-game stretch. And just the Thunder bleeding a little bit right now. Like, I think the league kind of needed that. You know, the West is going to be a bear. Top of the East. How about Knicks coming in here next week? Yeah, that'll be interesting.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Yeah. Oh, God.
Look, I think Trae Young is coming in here the next week, too. Washington coming.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
What you when they go Knicks head coach Mike Brown next week, do you think the fans do like the cheering for almost as a representative of like, you know, how did we get here type thing? Or how
they'll pop.
Rousing ovation.
Yeah, the crowd is absolutely gonna pop for Mike. We talk about this, Ant, all of the time. The crowd at the arena is not the same as on social media. It's not the same as you know, God bless everyone listening and watching. Like, these are the diehards of the diehards and all of that. But the people who are at the Golden One Center, they're there for a good time. And they have an appreciation. Not that, you know, others don't, but they have an appreciation for this franchise and the history of this franchise. And Mike's going to get a lot of love. Mm-hmm. He's going to get a lot of love next week.
Yeah. And again, I think it's also like a little bit of a representation of like, you know, hey, why did we do what we did? Why did we just yank out of that beam era so rapidly?
That post game handshake might be watched a little bit. Mm. Might be watched a little bit.
No, it's going to be a.
That would require a handshake. You see the, you know, like hands, and it's like the, hey.
Yeah.
You see that sometimes.
Yeah.
He's giving that to Bobby Jackson. Bobby, all right.
You've probably talked basketball for the last 4 hours, so we'll let you get out. Is there anything we need to keep our eyes on as far as Jonathan Kuminga? We're nearing the date that he can be traded, which is the 15th of this month, and he stays tied to the Kings. There's like a Brooklyn rumor out there. There's a Michael Porter Jr. thing out there. Three team deals. Like, there's all sorts of different things happening out there on the internet.
Yeah, I mean, it's posturing season, it's intel season, it's smokescreen season. What remains true is like Scott Perry he's interested in Jonathan Kuminga. Mm-hmm. He has always wanted to get him on a bargain. And this summer, the Warriors said no, right? They weren't gonna sell low on Kuminga. And everything that has happened to this moment in the Warrior season means they were going to have to sell lower. Mm-hmm. But you know, the one of the big questions being around the Warriors is like, if they're willing to incentivize the Kuminga contract, attach to first and go try to get, you know, somebody with that number, then they, you know, you could shop in some different aisles if it's him and two first round picks. If it's a post Steph Curry era first round pick, that's gold in this league, right? I want the Warriors 2029 unprotected first.
Yeah.
So you could go do that, but are they willing to do that? That's a big question. Do they get in the bigger ticket item, the Davis type conversation? We'll see. The one thing the Kings have going for them is they are the most interested in Jonathan Kuminga. There's, you know, people in the league are like, you know, that's theoretically an expiring deal. It's a flyer on a young wing. I think the Kings more than other teams are like, but we really want to like give this guy a runway. Mm. And that's done. One thing I know for them is like Jonathan Kuminga is very interested in that idea. I mean, we've reported like Scott Perry went down to Miami this summer, generated a relationship with him. He did a Zoom call with Doug Christie on it. Like, he's very receptive to the idea of being a Sacramento King. But there's roadblocks, and some of those roadblocks is how uninterested the Warriors are in the Kings' offered assets. Mm. And, you know, Scott Perry sitting there going, hey, that protective first this summer's not even on the table currently. And we'll see, you know, what the Warriors end up doing. But right now they're not just going to take something to take something. They're saying they're willing. I reported it yesterday, right? They're saying they're willing to take him past the deadline. That clearly isn't the preference. There's so many personal dynamics at play in that organization right now, beyond Kuminga, that's not ideal if he's still sitting there rotting on the bench on February 8th. Mm. So we will see. But, you know, he's he's certainly could be a Sacramento King, but we'll see how the next month plays out.
Yeah, man, we appreciate you. You wear that jacket better than Shams, by the way. Like, that is Shams' look. That little jacket. Yeah, you've got that look, man. That's the Anthony Slater look. You own that now.
I'll take that. But Shams a friend and a coworker, so you know.
That's our guy. I've never seen Vivek more starstruck than when Shams walked across the court and was it game one last year. But I noticed you were wearing he wears that style cut of jacket every TV hit, and it's like, oh, that's his look.
Yeah.
That's his look.
I'll take it.
We appreciate you, my man. Thank you as always.
All right, fellas.